Big question for you. Should musicians be entrepreneurs? Should they think like entrepreneurs? I have with me a very talented, brand new musician, Soraya. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing good. You came in for an e-session here at Cedarville. E-sessions are where people come in for coaching to talk about their business. And you, my friend, you said, hey, I got this song I want to play for you. And then you played it for me. And I was like, we need to get you on the podcast.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. And so let's take people right to the Spotify. Oops. You know what? I told you I just did my computer differently.
Yeah.
So we might have an issue there, but we're going to drop in the link. And Tanisha, drop in a link if you don't mind, all right, for her. But let's talk about this, your actual music, okay?
Yeah.
So when did you start music?
So I was homeschooled my whole life. Mm. I started playing piano at 5 years old. And then I also picked up the cello at 8.
Okay.
And then since I was homeschooled, I was able to join a co-op called Oakland Homeschool Music, OMI. And that was just a huge foundation that grew my love of music. I was in orchestras. I was in chamber ensembles, choirs. I competed for the states and all sorts of competitions and stuff for vocal work as well. So
that's fantastic.
Yeah.
I found you on Spotify, by the way. We might play it here in a second. But there you are. Is that a picture when you were very young?
Yes, it was.
Okay. And what's symbolic about that picture? Why did you pick that one in particular?
If you listen to the song, it is basically set up as a whole string of like vulnerable poems. Mm-hmm. And actually, it's a lot of specific memories for me. And something that came to mind when I was trying to pick an album art cover was that picture. I was looking through my old pictures from when I was a kid. Yeah. And it actually is one of those specific memories that I was thinking of as I was writing the song.
The song's called Tattoos, just came out, has over 2,000 views. In fact, I'm tempted to play it. I hope Facebook does not shut us down because sometimes they hear music and they shut us down.
Oh, really?
They really do. So like part of me is like, ooh, should we? But it's on Spotify and literally it's called Tattoos and it's your name, Soraya Ashley.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect.
Yes.
And did you, I mean, I imagine you had to be like an entrepreneur to get this thing out because there's risk. I mean, there's risk, there's rejection.
Yes.
You know, so did you think like an entrepreneur?
Absolutely.
Yeah. what did you think when you were recording it?
Well, this is the first single I've ever released, so it was new for me.
And you had to learn like a lot of stuff. Like I want people to realize to think like an entrepreneur. I mean, you had to be like, how do you upload a song? How do you start a Spotify account? What do you get paid? Did you sign agreements? Like mm-hmm. all those things.
Yes, all of those things. And it's definitely, I think a lot of it relates to connections too. I mean, connections are always so important. Mm. Luckily, a friend from home was actually able to produce me. So that was awesome. But
you know what I'm trying to get? I told you right away. I said, you need to get a music video out.
Yes.
Right. So I know we're trying on that. Do you know a guy named Matthew Black? He's on campus. He's great with camera. I already saw him on Friday and I said, listen, you need to do a music video with Soraya. So we're going to see if this can happen, but what would a music video do for this song?
Probably would just get it more attention, more views. And, you know, it's been great on Spotify, especially. I think that's been my top streaming platform so far.
I'm going to drop in the link.
Yeah. Made over 2K views in 2 weeks, which is crazy because this is, you know, something new that I'm starting out. So it's just really encouraging.
That's fantastic. Oh yeah. Here we go. See, look at. There you go. Tanisha's already on it.
Awesome.
I told you she was. She's good.
Thank you.
So there's Spotify. And folks, you got to check this out. As Tanisha mentioned, she's pursuing a Bachelor of Arts in Music from Cedarville. How did Cedarville, if they did, what year are you, by the way?
I'm a sophomore.
So do you feel like they prepared you at all for thinking like an entrepreneur in this way?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, I think that everything is connected to entrepreneurship. Mm. I think they've just really helped me be able to, well, mostly learn like technique. That's been super great. But yeah, I feel like there's
a lot of technique.
I think technique is like the main thing that I've probably been learning about and pursuing here, since most of the music that I'm learning at Cedarville is like classically trained music. Mm. This is kind of a different thing that's hoping to guide me where I want to be in the future.
Now, your music professor, tell us his name, the one that I came into your class.
Lou Lalit. And then my private instructor is Beth Porter.
And was she in the class that day too?
Yes, she was. She's the chair of the department.
I remember that.
Yeah.
So they asked me to come over and speak to the music people, which is, I was deeply honored. It's very rare that, you know, somebody in the music department would be like, hey, let's have the entrepreneurship guy come over. I know that was a long time ago when I came, but do you remember anything about the talk, like how I said, you know, because they only had me come for a little bit, but did you ever think of yourself as an entrepreneur before that?
For sure. Mm. Yeah. Because I want to open a studio. That's my end goal with all of this. So, you know, I'm going to be teaching private lessons, recording music, having other people come into my studio.
Mm.
So that definitely is going to require a lot of like connections and yeah. a lot of, just, you know, thinking like an entrepreneur. I'm going to be running a business.
Yeah.
So, you know, just marketing that well for sure.
I love it. I love it. Before we came here, I was in a class and we just Googled how much of the population has a side hustle. So like they have a day job and then they have something that they're working on the side. Take a guess. What do you think? All people in the United States, what percentage do you think have a job and then they have like their side thing that they're working on? What do you think?
Probably like
93. Yeah, right. That's good. That's good. So folks, I'll tell you what, it is growing. Like back in my day, it would be very rare. Like, you know, when I was your age, barely anyone was working on, you know, a side hustle. It was almost like, ooh, you're being betraying. In fact, they had this TV show I never watched. It was called Moonlighting. It was way back in the day. But it was almost like this term where, ooh, you're betraying your job. But today, it's over half.
Hmm.
So over half the people in the world go to do their day job, and then they have this side gig. And a lot of them, if they're honest, are like, ooh, I hope my side gig actually blows up. And I don't think it's bad to want to fund your dream with your main job. And this is kind of what I've done over the years, like to get books out and stuff. Like I had to fund my publishing career with my day job. So I feel like for you, like what's your plan? You're going to try to get out there with Spotify. This gives you what, credibility? So when you do lessons, people are more apt to hire you. What do you think?
Yeah. I'd say definitely pursuing this like whole releasing music thing is just always been a huge dream of mine. So that's definitely something that I'm mostly doing for me and also like as a musical outlet, also for my audience. I want them to be able to relate to the music that I put out. I want it to be vulnerable, sometimes uncomfortable. As long as it reaches the audience and makes them feel understood in some type of way, that's really my goal with releasing music. I would also love to add in elements of the training that I've received at Cedarville into my music, because I've learned a lot of valuable techniques and just stylistic things that I think modern music is really lacking. So I would really just like to use that to the full extent. And I think getting a Bachelor of Arts degree in music here at Cedarville is really going to help me boost my credibility just with an associate's degree. So
I'm like dying to play your song, but I just know that Tanisha will echo this. Like we've run events in the past where we had music playing and they can like shut it down, the whole live stream and stuff. So folks, you gotta go check out her Spotify, and we're gonna drop in her Instagram too, but you have to Google Soraya Ashley.
Mm-hmm.
The song is called Tattoo. We're gonna pop in your Instagram as well. And let's talk about the song itself.
Yeah.
Because there's kind of a story with this. And you even had to think like an entrepreneur to take a risk to put this vulnerable song. What's the song? What's the song about?
So as you said, the song is called Tattoos. It is, as I said earlier, it is a string of vulnerable poems. I actually wrote this song over a year and a half ago, but it took a lot of time to kind of muster up the courage to actually release it.
Mm, totally. It's about your dad.
Mm-hmm, it is.
And you shared that, you know, I could tell right away it was some kind of emotional story. I think your music is felt, you know, first. Like there's cerebral music out there, but how much is the emotion part of this song?
I'd say it's full of emotion. Mm. I think emotional is probably one of the first ways I would describe it. It's very lyrically based. You know, I actually started with the concept and the lyrics and then added in the chord progressions and like the rhythmic structure and all that other stuff after. Mm. So the lyrics was really my main goal here. Yeah.
And then what do you do in the song? Like, I think I asked you, cause again, I don't know music, but
yeah.
But like, what are all the things you did in the song?
So, I sang for it. I did all the vocals. I played the piano for it. The whole thing, you know, added in like strings in there as well. So
wow, you did that too.
The strings were actually MIDI. I could have played them if I wanted, but yeah, those were computerized, but
that's amazing.
Yes.
And yeah, I mean, I'm a visual person, so when I hear something, I actually see something. So yeah, I saw you doing definitely a music video. And so I'm trying to get Matthew and the whole music and business department to put like in this, because I just think that it would be a great story of a Cedarville student.
Yeah.
And there's a story behind the song. So
there is.
you had to deal with trauma. You mm-hmm. had to recover.
Yeah.
You had to heal. You know, so to me, the song is, even though it might be an emotional song, it's hopeful.
Yes.
Do you think so? Does it end on, I didn't read all the lyrics, but does it end on a high point?
I wouldn't say that necessarily the song ends on a high point. Well, actually, yes, it does in a way. When I wrote it, I was not at an emotional high point. Mm. This was probably one of the lowest parts of my life, struggling with the emotions that I was dealing with. And, you know, I didn't really know how to deal with them, how mm-hmm. to cope.
Yeah.
Which is partly why it took me so long to release it too. It took a lot of emotional healing paired with just maturity and my relationship with the Lord. He really delivered me and helped me grow through it to be able to release it.
So it's almost like your life is a story of someone who didn't get sucked into damaging, toxic behavior. I think a lot of times if somebody went through something that like you did, they would be hopeless. Mm-hmm. And yet you're someone who's basically outside of the situation now, able to look down. That's even powerful.
Yes. Yeah, for sure. There was a lot of growth and a lot of things. And I think near the end of the song too, you can kind of see a bit of an emotional shift because at the beginning, it's more like just the specific bad memories, especially, it shifts point of views as well, which might be kind of confusing. The lyrics should actually be uploaded pretty soon to Spotify.
Okay.
But yeah, it's, it goes between like me as a kid to me as an older person looking back at the situation. And it kind of ends, the song ends with my viewpoint currently when I had wrote the song, kind of looking back and realizing what the situation was and accepting what it is. And honestly, it's a huge part of my testimony to like everything that had happened, because I come from a single parent household, and this is all about just the dark, deep emotions that you have to deal with that people don't really talk about. So I'm really hoping that people will be able to relate to it, even though it's a very specific meaning to me.
Yeah,
I'm hoping that the kind of like hidden meanings behind it will still be broad enough that people can relate to it themselves as well.
It's fantastic. You know what people say? They'll be like, what's next? So are you, are there more songs coming?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. This is just the kickoff to more big things.
Okay. I love it. So I'm going to get some, Instagram live here while we chat. So don't mind me.
Yeah, sure.
But, what would you say, the response has been? I know you're close to some of your roommates and people in your dorm, maybe even, I don't know if your mother's still in your life or family members, but like, what would you say, what are they thinking?
Well, my mom is my best friend. She has so supportive through all of this. So supportive. I actually remember the first time I had made like the demo for this song. We were in a hotel room together. We were like on vacation somewhere. I don't really remember what we were doing, but I remember sitting down with her and like showing her the demo of the song, like right after I had wrote it, before it was ever recorded or released. And like, we just sat there and cried together. It was just so touching because she went through it with me. And, so she's been so incredibly supportive, and so have all of my friends. Everybody's just, I've gotten a lot of good feedback. Everybody's been very encouraging. So I really appreciate that.
So it's on Spotify. And, you know, I think some people would wonder the business model of Spotify, because I recently saw a streaming platform concept on Spotify about the business. And there was some pushback, like they felt like the artists may not be getting compensated. Is this the ultimate goal, or do you hope to be in other places as well?
Well, I do understand the financial aspects involved with this, and compensation is not high.
But it's not like exclusive distribution where you have to say like, we're only on Spotify ever, do you?
Right. No. Yeah. That's my song is released on all streaming platforms.
That's cool.
That is definitely a nice part of the agreement. But finances are not my ultimate goal with this. Like I said before, I'm more concerned with using music as an outlet for myself. It's been such a beautiful gift from the Lord and such a coping mechanism for me. So that paired with just wanting to help people, wanting them to be able to have something relate to, it can be so powerful just to feel like someone else understands you. Yeah. So that's my goal with it. It's not in hopes of getting money from it. It's more about touching lives.
So you're focused on the impact rather than the income.
Yes.
But there could be some good exposure that happens and other opportunities that come as a result.
For sure. And in opening my studio in the future, I'm going to be teaching private lessons for cello, piano, and voice lessons. So that is going to be my main means of, you know,
I love it. That's great. Yeah. So as we kind of wrap up here, what would you say to someone who has a dream? Maybe they have an art form, maybe music, maybe some other art form, but they know that it's a way of healing, way of coping. What would you say if they're kind of nervous to get their message out?
You know, something vulnerable is always going to be uncomfortable, and it's always going to be a scary thing to take the first step. The first step is always the hardest part because it is the most uncomfortable.
Sure.
But once you make that step, it is so freeing. Because you don't have to be held back by that fear anymore. It's such a great way to face that fear. I feel so much stronger and so much more healed now that I have faced it. And I didn't let it hold me back. I was terrified for a while. But, you know, it's really paid off.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I think definitely if you have something vulnerable that's maybe uncomfortable, take the first step, because once you take the first step, you will go so far and things will happen that you never would expect.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. Well, folks, you can see why I wanted to get her on the show. She's obviously a bright light, and she's definitely going to be going places. Is this your first podcast ever on this?
It is.
Wow. So, you know, we're going to look back at this someday and be like, wow. So main point is go to Spotify, listen to her music. If you were blessed by this interview, share it with people. Do they have to buy it on Spotify? Like, some people might be like kind of brand new to the platform. Like, what do they do on Spotify?
No, it is free. It's free service. So, well, you do have to have Spotify Premium, I think, to be able to play it. But
I don't know if I do. I played it.
Oh, really?
I mean, I don't know what I have, but I played it and I think it's awesome.
Okay.
So I don't know.
Yeah, well, it's on Spotify, it's on Apple Music, all kinds of things. So yeah, it should be a free service. I think the only place that I'm charging is on Bandcamp. I think it's $1. So yeah.
Oh, that's so good. Mm-hmm. Well, check it out, everybody. And Soraya, great having you today.
Yes, thank you so much.